We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're always so hyper-focused on the Bears this weekend and Sunday night, Monday night. You got to sit back and watch the rest of the league. And maybe some of you said, hey, Mitch isn't that bad. Look at all the quarterback problems going on around the league. Or maybe not. You're thinking Mitch is at the very bottom. So Herbie suggested we bring in Dan Durkin. I thought that was perfect because he's a great Bears analyst. Film junkie, salary cap nerd. That's what he calls himself on his Twitter profile, at DJ Durkin. What's going on, Dan?
How are you, man?
Doing great. Doing great. I want to talk about the quarterback play in the league. We know it's the most important position in all of sports, and we're giving Trubisky his third year, and we're waiting. But while we're waiting, we're seeing younger quarterbacks kind of lap Mitch right now. And it sounds like he's going to return to the field this weekend against the Saints. But let's start with some of the quarterbacks around the league before we get to Mitch. Jared Goff. Rams get to the Super Bowl in Goff's third year. So before his fourth year, they give him the monster contract. $134 million, $110 million guaranteed. Did the Rams make a mistake?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the thing that's one of the few provisions that's actually built into the CBA that all teams should take advantage of when they have a player that they deem worthy of a little bit more evaluation, or somebody that you at least want to put the protections around, is the fifth-year option. And the fifth-year option is made available to players drafted in the first round, which obviously Jared Goff was. So getting yourself in a rush to secure somebody like that, I mean, I understand that if you're, you know, people like that aren't going to hit the market. Or I should say, a potential young quarterback like that isn't going to hit the market. And if he does, it's going to be a bidding war and it's going to be a ridiculous final price tag. But in this instance, you should exhaust the options that you have available to you before you make a decision like that. And I know that, you know, Sean McVay has him in the building every day. He gets to evaluate him. He gets to talk to him. He gets to put on his, like, GM hat and project and predict what he could be in a couple years. And they probably and they likely got ahead of themselves in that evaluation, because I think honestly it was Vic Fangio back week 13 of last season that really kind of put out the blueprint. If you kind of take away the seams, which is where he likes to look first with the football, and really restrict and force him to throw the ball outside the numbers where his arm strength it's just not as strong, he's going to have some problems. And it's going to allow the pass rush to get there. It's going to expose the weaknesses that he has in his game. And so you've seen a lot of teams follow suit since then. Button up the seams, make him wait a little bit longer in the pocket, take away his primary read, which this year has been Cooper Kupp, and now all of a sudden you're forcing him to make throws that he's not comfortable with. He's not very mobile in the pocket. So definitely has been exposed since that. So that's a perfect situation, and I think a cautionary tale for the Bears. Don't compound a problem by rushing to give somebody money that hasn't fully earned it.
Perfect, Dan. And I'm glad you explained why it's so important for the Bears to make the call after this year. That's what they want. That would be a good thing because then they're fully convinced. But let's talk about that fifth-year option once again. Over the weekend, Jameis Winston for Tampa, he throws 5 interceptions. Marcus Mariota for Tennessee, he's benched for Ryan Tannehill. We know both calls, 1 and 2 in the draft, were big mistakes. But was the bigger issue making those selections to begin with, or waiting at least 5 years to make a decision?
I think in this league, you have to try and get the quarterback in the draft. So, I mean, those are the guys that everybody, I think, had consensus about as being the most, apt to be developed into two quarterbacks that could be productive at the NFL level. So I don't fault that. However, it's again, it's rushing to extend when you don't need to. You have to fully exhaust the options that are available to you. So I think that to bring it back to Mitch for a second, I mean, yeah. the Bears have a couple years now to figure this one out. So you have the rest of this year, and then you have next year as well. But I mean, for me in this particular evaluation, I mean, when you go back to like Mariota and Jameis Winston, I'm taking Jameis Winston over Mariota again, like in that draft, obviously. What's scary here, and let me just put in a little like tangential thought, is let's not lose sight of the fact that Ryan Pace wanted to trade up for Marcus Mariota. So let's make sure that that's very clear to the people who are listening out there, that that is fact and that is something that was in play for the Bears in the 2015 draft. And so I think with Jameis Winston, you're going to have that clunker game. You're going to have that, maybe it's like every four or five games, he's going to leave you just scratching your head. It's like, what was he thinking? What was he seeing? What or what didn't he see on this that forces him to make, you know, three or four just completely regrettable throws? So I think that he still has a future, I think, in the NFL. Marcus Mariota, I think he is done. I mean, you just look at him, doesn't have the arm strength, not throwing with anticipation. You know, he's not like the multi-threat that he was previously. I think that the offense has to be really catered specific to him, very similar to Mitch. It has to be very watered down. It has to be very specific as far as, like, I'm reading this half of the field, or I'm putting a defender in conflict, and he's the guy I'm reading on this. Just very elementary. It reminds me very much of a college offense. You just have not seen him take that step. I think it was his second or his third year in the league when he really showed a little bit of promise. It's just been a decline since then. So I think that in that situation, definitely Winston is still worth developing. Mariota, I think he's a lost cause at this point.
Dan, excellent point about Mariota. I saw you bring that up on Twitter a few weeks ago, and I completely forgot about that. And while we question Pace's ability to evaluate that position, how about trading up for some of the other guys, too? We can branch out. We'll circle back to the quarterback, too, here. But we haven't seen anything from Montgomery, and maybe that's on the O-line. We'll get to that. But how is Floyd looking after moving up in the draft right now? How is Anthony Miller looking after moving up to take him, these guys that he's targeting?
Yeah, it's completely fair criticism at this point in time. I think the jury's still out on Montgomery. I mean, I just did a pretty long piece this week. I mean, you see it. The run blocking has just been atrocious this year, from the offensive line to the tight ends, to the wide receivers who are asked to be a part of the blocking scheme on a run play. It's just not there. And the running game for the Bears is just broken. It's completely broken. And I think it exacerbates some of the concerns that people had about Montgomery. He doesn't really have that extra gear. That's not who he is as a runner. Not too dissimilar to what he had at Iowa State. He had to make a lot of moves in the backfield just to try and get positive yardage. So you're seeing some of that right now. I think Anthony Miller is more of a usage situation than anything else. Definitely some maturity concerns with him, just some dumb penalties and just, you know, like, it's just things that shouldn't happen on the field that cost his team. That's probably a little bit of a concern. He was a bit older too. I think he was 24 when the Bears drafted him. He freelances a little bit on his routes, but he's a playmaker. He's an excellent route runner when he's actually on point with his assignment. He sets defenders up well. He's good with the ball in his hands as far as open field vision. He's violent as far as getting extra yardage. So, I mean, I think that he is somebody that they should find and should have found more ways to get him the football. And I think that this is a Matt Nagy issue more than anything else. I think you see in the running game, and you definitely see it in the passing game, pry specific receivers open. The only game you've seen that happen this year is the Washington game, when they specifically schemed, okay, from the furthest outside, we are going to run shallow crossers for Taylor Gabriel. We're going to run shallow crossers for Anthony Miller to get these guys open and to make Washington chase, which they're not good at, or get linebackers in these coverage schemes. And then all of a sudden we get really quick, easy reads to get the ball out. I don't think he's doing enough to get the ball in the hands of his playmakers. This is one of the least explosive offenses in the league, and they certainly have playmakers who can make plays down the field. Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, Taylor Gabriel. So I put a lot of that on coaching. But in terms of like other evaluations, let's go Adam Shaheen. 101 picks after Adam Shaheen is a guy named George Kittle coming off the board from Iowa. So it's like, these are the types of things that separate great teams from the teams that are just kind of stuck in this middle, you know, like, you know, 8-8, 9-7. If you're having a great year, otherwise it's like 7-9, 6-10 teams. These are the decisions, and the people are like, you could do that with every team. That's the worst counter argument out there. You are literally paying these people to evaluate talent. another team was able to evaluate talent and you weren't. That's the problem. Don't make excuses because other teams did. I think it's a really hollow argument that people try and make. But these are the types of decisions that you're seeing the Bears deal with right now and what to me is just a completely easy-to-defend offense.
You've got the Joe O Show on Sports Radio 670, The Score with Bears analyst Dan Durkin. Find him on Twitter at DJ Durkin. His latest column, many factors contributing to the Bears' stalled run game. And why don't you give us a peek on that? And the big story this week, obviously, Akeem Hicks today, he goes on IR. Yesterday, it was Kyle Long. You hate to say this, but he hasn't been available to the team. He's now on IR for the fourth straight year. Without Long, will that be an upgrade for the O-line?
It's hard for me to say this because I really like Kyle. I've enjoyed every conversation I've had with him. He's answered every question I've ever asked him. He's taken time outside of scrums to answer questions. Great guy. Yes, they will be because, I mean, you can just go through the clips that I put out there. I mean, he was clearly not himself physically. He looks physically finished on the field just in terms of not being able to climb to the second level to secure a linebacker, not being just getting bullied at the point of attack, just getting pushed away. These are just things that you're not accustomed to seeing. He's just not moving his feet. And I think that the ability for offensive linemen, obviously, to generate ground force power through their feet and then their hips and have their hips snap when they actually reach their target, that's not happening with him. So he has been very detrimental to the run game. And so I do think that this is addition by subtraction. You're going to get a chance to see Rashad Coward. They just activated Alex Bars, who's, you know, I think that the biggest positive for him not only was his play in the preseason, but the fact that the Patriots wanted to sign him to the active roster is a sign that the Bears have a prospect here worth developing. So I think that this is going to be a benefit to the offensive line. But now it comes up to Harry Heistand to figure out what schemes do we run best? What schemes can we block best? What schemes do we have the best timing between our running back and the offensive line for each running back that we're going to give the ball to? They just haven't figured that stuff out. And I think that that's the most confounding thing to me is, yes, your interior line is struggling to get to the second level. Yes, your tight ends like offer nothing. I think they completely whiffed at the tight end position this year. Your wide receivers are giving questionable effort on plays that they're asking to be blocked. But schematically, this team has no short yardage go-to scheme. Handing the ball off to Cordarrelle Patterson or the shovel pass package that they tried last year are all indictments of the fact that they have not sat down and said, these are five plays we run well in third and three or short or fewer, and we're going to convert on these. They just don't have that, and I think that's a real problem.
And as far as the quarterbacks go, for years it was, okay, you've got to get a guy at the top of the draft, and now it seems like we're seeing multiple teams that are completely tanking so they can try and get that quarterback position right, and it's not a big shock that we're seeing some good games. Positive things to point out from Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray, and I wasn't expecting it against the Cowboys coming off mono, and then what Sam Darnold was able to do, how he lifted the Jets, just not having Falk out there and having Darnold, and how much better it was. And then we see guys step in and just do what their team needs. Protect the football at the very least, like Kyle Allen. Five starts, five wins, no interceptions. He's the first quarterback to ever do that. Gardner Minshew, a sixth-round draft pick. He wasn't great this past weekend, but he's been impressive since walking out onto the field in week one. And then you see guys with issues like Trubisky and Rosen. And people are sick of hearing it, but I just don't care. We have to hammer this home that Ryan Pace, sure, he picked Mitch. He moved up for Mitch. But by moving up for Mitch, it wasn't just about the assets that he gave up there, Dan. He evaluated that position that offseason, and he said, I'm going to take a quarterback very high. And he moved up, so he wasn't stuck with Watson or Mahomes. That's what gets me the most here.
Yeah, I mean, I have no issues with them trading up. They just traded up for the wrong person. You know, obviously that's crystal clear at this point in time. But I do agree with you. It seemed like he was negotiating against himself and trading against himself in that scenario. Nobody can convince me that anybody was clamoring to get up there that high. I don't believe it. I know Pat Mahomes' agent pretty well, and I was trading some messages with him before the draft, and he assured me that Pat was going to be going in the top 10. He wouldn't give me the specific team names, but he told me there were a handful of teams. So clearly there were people that were zoned in on him in that top 10 block. You know, unfortunately for the Bears, they weren't one of those teams. But I mean, no, you're completely right. You know, we go back to wanting to trade up for Marcus Mariota. We go back to signing Mike Glennon, who was the guy I wrote, you know, heading into that offseason. That's the one guy that's going to dupe a general manager into thinking that he's a good quarterback, and he's not. That's exactly what happened with Hayes. And now you have the Trubisky thing. So it's completely fair to call into question his ability to evaluate the quarterback position. There's just too much data out there to show that he's not good at it. I mean, we just call it what it is. So now it's like, how do you either make Mitch a productive player within an NFL offense? Or, you know, like, do you have to start thinking about your options? And I mean, I'm at the point now where it's like, I don't think that he's magically going to turn himself into something that he's not. I think that game plans have to be specifically kind of like pared down a little bit for him to succeed. He has to have a lot of information pre-programmed into his head so he understands, but it's like he's not able to adjust, and quarterback is such a cerebral position. You need to be able to make quick decisions that are accurate and know where to go with the football, and you're just not seeing that. So I honestly think that this offseason the Bears need to make a real push for a veteran quarterback to come in here and open this competition up. If the season works out like I think it's going to, if they fall short of the playoffs, I think they have to have a very hard conversation about what does the future of this quarterback position look like. Bring in a veteran, a guy I keep talking about. I've mentioned him in like just like passing. Alex Smith, I would contact the Redskins and say, hey, what do you want for Alex Smith? You got Dwayne Haskins. You know, this is going to be the guy that you're going to try and build around. What do you want for Alex Smith? Put those two in there in a legit competition next training camp. See what happens in that scenario. This defense is ready to win right now. You cannot waste the prime years. I mean, look what happened to Akeem Hicks. What's he going to look like when he comes back? Yep. You can't waste the prime years of some of the best defensive players in the league because you're trying to make a project work that maybe isn't going to be what you think it is.
Joe Ostrowski with Dan Durkin, Sports Radio 670, The Score. Before the injury, and we'll get to what we hope to see out of Trubisky moving forward, but before the injury, how much was Nagy really dialing back the offense for Mitch?
It's noticeable for sure. I mean, you could see if you go back and look at let's take the Packers game, for example, the play that he got intercepted on in the end zone, they ran that same play on the previous drive. They just flipped the formation. So, I mean, you're talking about a handful of passing concepts that they felt okay running with him in that scenario. You should have your entire playbook available to you at this point in terms of, like, being at this 202 level that they said that he was going to be at. So the Packers knew exactly what was going to come. Allen Robinson from the number three, so the innermost receiver on that side, is going to run a corner, again, trying to create congestion in there by the outside two receivers. They were totally ready for it. Tremont Williams peels off. Adrian Amos is sitting over the top the entire time. Mitch looked at him the whole way because they saw it on the drive, like maybe eight or nine passes prior to that. So that's just an example of them having to run the same package of plays, trying to conceal them by just flipping formations. Teams are too smart. Teams know what you want to do in those situations. They know by how Robinson's lined up, oh, they're going to get him on a corner here because he's inside. I mean, you can start figuring that stuff out. The RPO thing that I pointed out, the fact that they have like a formation towel when they offset the running back to the same side as Trips. I'd say 90% of the time that's going to be an RPO play that's coming from that. So these are all things that are having to be run because you have to kind of give him, hey, here's the call sheet for this week. Maybe Nagy wants it to be 170 plays. Maybe they're only comfortable calling 70 of those plays, those types of things. So I think that's an issue at this point in time, considering this is the only terminology he's had now for 2 years. It's the same set of skill position players. It's the same voices that he's hearing in the meeting room. It's the same voice that he's hearing when he goes to meet with his head coach. So all of these things are in place. I expected him to take a big step forward this year. He hasn't, and I think that all has to come back to the fact that he's not processing information as fast as he needs to be.
We all expect to see Mitch on Sunday at Soldier Field against this very tough New Orleans defense. What are you expecting to see this Sunday out of Mitch and in this game?
I mean, really, for me, I mean, this is a game where you're going to want to just not give the Saints extra possessions. I mean, obviously, they're not nearly as explosive of an offense as they would be if Drew Brees was under center. But, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater just seems to get rid of the ball on time. He gets it to the right people. I think they're going to get a little bit of a reprieve with Alvin Kamara not being 100%. But I really think that with the extra time, you figure out what you want to be as far as a running offense is concerned. Make a commitment to it, because when you're struggling to get the ball down the field like they are, if you're not running the ball, play action isn't even an option. A team's not going to buy any play action fakes when your team is not committed to running the ball. So I think that much like the Denver game, you have to make this one a little ugly. I think you have to just commit to the running game and hope that it creates some opportunities for you later in the game, in the passing game. But, I mean, for me, give it to David Montgomery. I know the Saints' defense is pretty good, but there's going to be some chances, I think, particularly out of the slot to pick on the secondary. I think Lattimore will probably travel with Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson is the one constant that the Bears have had. So this, to me, is a perfect opportunity to establish a little bit of the run game and then try and get Miller or Gabriel out of the slot, because I think there will be some chances for them down the field.
Dan Durkin at DJ Durkin on Twitter. Dan, knockdown analysis. Thank you so much.
Have a good one, Joe. Thanks for having me.
That's Dan Durkin. I'm Joe Ostrowski. You've got Sports Radio 670, The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
In the air, left field. This is going to do it. Game three of this NLCS belongs to the Washington Nationals. And Nationals fans, your team is one win from a World Series.
You're listening to the Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
Yeah, one more.
This is like a matter of time right now.
All right, ALCS, Game 3, Houston won at the Yankees, 4-1. That's not the big news. We are still in the first inning of the NLCS. The Nationals are up 5-0. No need to turn it on. Ball game already over. Schilt's out there. Oh, he just pulled Dakota Hudson? Is he swearing, Schilt? Yeah. People were scared. Had Nationals tickets. Oh, man. Now I'm worried because of Schilt. Because he swore at his team a bunch. No. 5-0. First inning, two men on, one out. Put up 10, Nats. 10. Adam Wainwright is in. It's over. Over. How much are you going to score in Corbin? How much? Put up that 10th spot. That's all I'm asking for. Just like the Cardinals did. Wasn't a game against the Braves. I don't think I'm going to have a sweat. It's nice having a sweat-free NLCS. Still first and second. One out. 5-0 Nats. I'll keep you updated this evening on the score. Oh, it's going to be a good night. Good night. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this fall when the Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year Pat Fitzgerald, host Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota at Big Ten Play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. Coming up this next hour at 8:40, my buddy John Mamola. If you are an old school score guy, you used to listen to Joe and Rock Show, or if you didn't have a life on Saturday nights, you heard that. So we're going to be reunited on the air. He's in Tampa running a station. There's a few things going on down there, including his XFL team coached by Mark Trestman and Jameis Winston. Going to 5 years with that rookie deal. How's that working out? Didn't look so good in London. 920, Joe Giglio from Philadelphia, WIP, will join me. Talk about Gabe Kapler. The Cubs interviewing Kapler this week for their managerial vacancy, even though I think we all know where this is going. Is anybody calling David Ross, not named the Cubs? Anybody? Is ESPN calling him? They just want to know if he's going to return or is he definitely out? Maybe they're calling him and that's it. Another hit for the Nats. Score two. Let's go. 7-0. It's double. I'm going to do this all night.
This is so good. Is the game over? Can we call it? Are the Cardinals going to score eight? They haven't scored all series, right? Are they going to get to seven tonight?
No, they're probably not going to get to seven the whole series.
I think they're already done. Like, they're checked out, right? They just want to finish this. Okay, let's give them the 27 outs and get out of here, man. It's over.
It's going to be a long game for Cardinals fans.
This was a beat. They might be turning it off pretty soon. This was a beat down, man. Wow.
I know it's weird to say.
I thought the Nationals were going to win, but I didn't see this coming.
But I would rather be the Brewers. Just duck out in one game. You got the playoff.
No, I don't think it's that weird to say.
I mean, if you ain't going to compete, come on, right. Cardinals.
Okay, so look at the Cubs. Would you rather make it? You didn't make it, but would you rather make it and the world sees what you really are, or just not at all? I know Mike Chen was on record on the show for a long time saying, I don't even want them to make it because I know it's going to happen.
This is what Mike Chen feared for the Cubs.
This is exactly what he's talking about. But at least they won a series.
I don't know. Cardinals. See, this is the weird part about it. I don't know. I'm speaking for Cub fans. Mm-hmm. I'm not one. If the Cubs would be satisfied if they got beaten another LCS, especially this embarrassingly. Like, like when the Cubs got beat by the Mets in four straight, that first year, you're like, yeah. That's bad, but you know, it's our first year.
I don't know if the Cardinals are ever going back.
Oh no. There was an article the other day and a lot of Cardinal fans got mad about it that like the Cardinals don't belong here. Like they're an anomaly. What they've done is weird. Congratulations for making this far, but you're not as good as the three other teams that are this far. They're out of the inning finally.
See, here's the thing. And we can open this up too at 312-644-6767. Even though I think their mind has been made up, Joe Maddon, for a couple of years now, if they make the playoffs, if they advance, having the conversation around the office, not around Joe, saying he's gone no matter what, is very different from actually advancing in the postseason, unlike a year ago, making the playoffs in all 5 years, and then launching him. That would have been tough to pull off, I think. There's a lot of people that weren't buying or still aren't buying it as is without making the postseason and only the wild card last year. I think that would have been a tough call. So would you rather not make it like the Cubs? Out. We move on from the Maddon era. We think it's going to be the Ross era. You have the managerial search going on right now. We think we'll have an answer in next week or so, hopefully. I think there's going to be a bunch of off days before the World Series starts. Would you rather not make it or get there and just get embarrassed like the Cardinals? Now everybody knows what you are. Were you really contenders? Or did it just everything fall your way for one series? And down the stretch as you won the division. 312-644-6767. Are both of you guys saying you'd rather not be in the NLCS and get swept?
Yeah.
You'd rather not?
Yeah, I would rather. I mean, especially in the situation that the Cubs were in, you have to think that they kind of obviously...
You prefer them not making the playoffs, have the end of the season press conference, they fire Joe Maddon, new managers coming in, you're going to have a fresh start, then winning a series and then getting swept 4-0.
Yes, because to me, the experience, they already have it. And if you're fighting for Nico Horner experience, playoff experience, that doesn't make sense. They needed to get over with the season and move on because they'd already made up their mind about what they were going to do about Joe Maddon. Why prolong the process? Like you said, it would make it way harder. Say they got till the CS.
I wanted it to be a tough decision.
And then
on
what
them.
Happens? Do they keep Joe? Do you sign him to a 1 year? Keep him lame duck again?
I think what they said internally is he's gone no matter what, unless they win the World Series. But going through with that is something different. Herb, you'd rather be in.
So the options are make it, win a series, get embarrassed in the LCS.
Don't make it. You disappoint everyone. You move on to the next era of your team, like the Cubs are. They're going to make some changes to the roster, supposedly. That's what they keep telling us. They're going to bring in a new manager. So you have these high expectations. Some people had World Series expectations on you. You disappoint everyone. You don't experience the playoffs. You do that. Or you make it, and getting to the NLCS, not good enough. You get there, and you get swept. You can't score all series.
All right. I would actually rather be – I always would advocate making the playoffs. But in this regard –
You're not the White Sox now.
Yeah. In this regard, the Cardinals go back and it's like, yeah, that like the Cardinals, their brass, their fan base says, you know what, successful season. We weren't expecting division. Yeah, getting beat in the LCS is tough. All these things are, you know, rough. And then they have a thing in their mind that they're better than they are. And so when they go into the offseason, they don't need to retool like the Cubs. At least with
they're
the
gonna
Cubs.
They're going to say we're a Final Four team. They're going to say that all offseason.
Yeah, and at least the Cubs can say, you know what, we weren't good enough and we failed to meet our expectations. And we're looking at these playoffs and we're not close to these teams. So we need to go back to the drawing board and see where we have fallen short and we can retool. I would much rather have the reality of we're not that good without the embarrassment.
What the team should be thinking about is the teams playing in the ALCS. If you're all in to win a title, are you as good as the Yankees or Astros? And I know playing in the National League, you're only going to play one of them, but you're going to play one of them. The Nationals, too, if Strasburg comes back. See, the thing with the Cardinals, making that argument that they're not going to be back, I'll buy into that all day. What are they paying? They're paying Goldschmidt and Dexter Fowler. Goldschmidt's good. Is he going to be $26 million good? Because that's when he's going to get paid next year for the following 5 years. And every time we talk to Ranji about the Cardinals, what does he say? They're cheap. They're cheap. They don't spend. And that's why fans are frustrated, and that's why they have a ceiling. I mean, that ballpark is full all the time. Is it ever empty? Ever? But they've got a ceiling on what they're going to spend. Horrible decision on Fowler. Who else are you paying? Carpenter's there a couple more years. Oh, well, Zuna's a free agent at the end of the season, by the way. He's dealing with injuries early on. It's a guy I'd love to have on my team. Are they going to pay up for him?
Paying a lot of money on Yadier Molina, $20 million per.
It's one of those, and he's 36. It's one of those things. What do you do?
They love him there.
It's not on the same level, but it's the reality the Cubs will face one time with Anthony Rizzo, right? But not on the same level.
Not even close. I think Anthony Rizzo relatively is cheap.
He's
$20 million for.
But first basemen are also replaceable.
Yes.
But he's a hell of a defender. Well, I bring up the Rizzo comp because of the leadership thing.
Exactly.
What people love to run to. 7-0, second inning. Y'all go on record. It better be over. We'll see. They're in Nationals Park. Corbin's looking good.
He's got 4 Ks already.
Four strikeouts and 6 outs?
Yeah.
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 They're going to third inning. No, bottom of the second. I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm a little excited. It's a big night for me.
I mean,
Nationals NL.
This is the different question. I don't know if you were listening when Danny had the whole thing about they're up 10-0. The Cardinals were up 10-0 versus the Braves.
Right.
Do you take out Flaherty at the time? Now,
yes. Yes.
I would have did that too. You know, would have had a better chance in game one, game two. And now you're down three games to nothing. When you finally played Flaherty yesterday, you're down 0-2. Now you have that. You don't have that same thing with Patrick Corbin going because the World Series has a set date, and Patrick Corbin's your third starter, which is a luxury that many teams don't have.
Yep.
So Patrick Corbin's wearing this until he runs out of gas.
I'm wondering when we're here at the end. Let's say the Astros move on and win that series, and the Nationals are in too. Look at those rotations. And when the Cubs won it, the entire rotation was healthy all year. And remember those numbers? I mean, Jason Hamill's numbers were ridiculous. Everybody was awesome. So we're going to have all these free agent pitchers this offseason. There's a bunch of them. Our team's going to focus on pitching more than the position players. And there are more options with the pitching because after Rendon, you have a drop-off. You get guys like J.D. Martinez, older, obviously big bat in the lineup, but Josh Donaldson, older, had a resurgence this season. I don't know how much money or how long those contracts are going to be, but there's Gerrit Cole, Strasburg should opt out. I don't know if he will. He's very comfortable in D.C. Bumgarner. Ryu was unbelievable for most of the season. How much will he be paid? And I mentioned Ozuna, too, and Yasmani Grandal, a couple position players also available. It's going to be fun in free agency this year. A lot of different options. 312-644-6767. Northside, Jesse, you're on the score.
Hey, I would say I would rather not make the playoffs. I would say the last 2 years were the most painful years, even more than some Cubs teams that won 67, 68 games, okay? You are sitting there watching these guys score 10 runs, then go on these droughts for 2-3 games, yeah. One run, no runs.
Yeah.
It's maddening. And the other thing I want to say is, when you think about it, I don't know. I think that they tuned out. Not that it's like a football game where you can get your coach, have you fired up, and you're going to play harder. But I just felt like the team was not really listening to Joe in terms of when he was on your airwaves at the start of the season, so saying that he is going to have a hands-on approach with the players in terms of what they're going to do in terms of right. Their approach at the plate. Did not happen, and I think when you're going to have, you know, Grandpa Ross, everyone's best buddy that you want to hear a bedtime story from, I could care less about him. He could go have his Starbucks and tell everyone what a good buddy he is when they don't score any more runs, and then they say, oh, he's such a nice guy. I want Ozzie Guillen in there to light a fire under people and go crazy.
Jesse, I agree with your points on Ross. Ozzie Guillen is not getting hired by the Cubs or any other team. I think we all understand why. How it ended with the Marlins. It's interesting because teams are calling Dusty. They're calling Buck Showalter. Why? You go opposite. So we're seeing these trends. We've gone the analytical route, and now some teams are getting rid of those guys, like in Philadelphia with Kapler. Now they're looking at going the opposite approach. But it's also one thing to grant an interview, and it's another thing to actually make the hire, make that team, one of the important faces of your organization. 70-year-old Dusty, is somebody really going to do that? A lot of this, there are favors going on, and maybe the Cubs are doing that with Kapler. I don't see Ozzie, but I get what he's saying about Grandpa Rossi. I do not endorse this. If this is what they do, and it feels like this is what they've wanted to do since he retired after 2016.
That's stupid.
It's a Grandpa Rossi tour all year, and I was so sick of it. It always felt like he's going to be back, and he was back in the organization, but now it looks like he's going to be back as the manager. He's their best friend, hugs all around. It's just Ross obsession. I don't understand it. Chen, as a big Cubs fan, do you get it?
I don't get it.
It
boggles my mind as to why they would want to have a friendly manager come in here after that's what you
accountability
just had, that you just had with Joe Maddon was a guy that was too relaxed. He has no managerial experience.
None.
I have
no coaching experience.
Exactly. I have no interest in him being the manager of the Cubs. Now, if he wants to be a bench coach, learn, whatever, I'm fine with that. But I do not want to see him leading the team.
Apparently, they tried that last year. He didn't want to do it. And I will say that that would have been a bigger distraction. We talked about Joe, what they're going to do with him all year. And if Ross is sitting next to him on the bench and everybody knows that it's going to be his gig, that would have made things worse. So maybe that's why they brought in Loretta, just to throw that off. They interviewed him too. That's a name we're not bringing up. Talk about Girardi, Espada, Kapler. Okay, he has the experience. Theo said he wants some experience. I don't know if that's really the case. Of course, Ross. But yeah, I'm with you on Ross. I'm out on that. And that's the hire they're probably going to make. This segment on The Score brought to you by the Chicago Fire Soccer Club. The Chicago Fire headed back to Soldier Field in 2020. Join the movement today by placing a $20 deposit applicable to any 2020 ticket package or single game ticket, including the club's Soldier Field home opener versus Atlanta United. Visit chicago-fire.com to learn more. You've got the Joe O Show on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
listening to the Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
A couple weeks ago, I had Jeff Blum on, former White Sox World Series hero. Well, he's actually still a White Sox World Series hero from 2005. He's the analyst for Astros Television. Had a conversation with him about Joe Espada. I'll play that just after 8 o'clock, a couple of minutes. You're going to want to hear it. You probably don't know a ton about Espada, aside from the fact that he is the Astros bench coach and his team picked up a win earlier today in the ALCS as Houston goes up 2-1 over the New York Yankees. Really good stuff. Might sell you on it. If you're a Ross guy, if you're a Girardi guy, might sell you on Espada. We'll get to that after the top of the hour. Jerry in Milwaukee, you're on 670, The Score with Joe Ostrowski.
Okay, Joe, here we go. I think no matter what the Cubs do this offseason, unless they trade Contreras and get something for him, that they will not even win the division next year. The Brewers, if they get some pitching, they'll probably win the division next year because they got a better lineup than the Cubs do.
Well, the Cubs haven't won the division for the last couple of years.
And they're not going to win it next year either.
Why is that?
But I got one more question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Since you're such an expert on college football, how bad is Ohio State going to bury Wisconsin on the 26th of October?
Ooh.
Ooh. Why is he jumping?
What do you? Maybe he's not a Wisconsin fan.
Ohio State's got a battle this week, Friday night, Northwestern.
Chicago.
That is enough. Yeah, why is that a Friday game?
I don't know why. Big Ten Networks, Big Ten's trying to do some dumb things. But also,
is it dumb, though?
I'm serious about the Northwestern thing.
Chen is hyped about this. He's a big Ohio State guy. Went there. Why is it dumb?
It's dumb because the conference doesn't need any more exposure. They're already one of
It's usually those smaller conferences.
Exactly. It's a Thursday max school. Night, right. It's a max thing. School. It's a Mountain West. The Big Ten should
South
not.
South Florida.
Exactly. The Big Ten should never have
so
a game
mad
on
about
Friday.
This.
It boggles my mind why they do that.
But the reason I'm saying this is Northwestern went up to Wisconsin and done something that no one else has done. Scored on Wisconsin a little bit and held them down. So, yeah.
You know what we need on Friday, Herb?
What's up?
We need it. That was the game. The game. Ohio State at Northwestern. Brett Musburger on the mic.
Oh, yes.
That was the worst bad beat of all
time. We were just talking about
time.
That the other day.
I was at that game.
You were?
I was.
And you know, I bet that game. You know what side I was on?
You were on Northwestern.
You're damn right I was on Northwestern.
Yeah, Joey Bosa blocked that punt at the end of the game, and they recovered it in the end zone.
And Brent is on with Kirk Herbstreit. It's like some people are very happy. Some people, however he put it, we got to play that on Friday before they kick off in Evanston. Oh, that'll be fun. Oh, man. Skipping ahead. Why you think the Wildcat have a chance?
I don't. I mean, did they have a chance versus Wisconsin going up to Wisconsin? And they battled them and gave them all they can handle? Northwestern, while doesn't have an offense, and you know how much I hate Northwestern.
Yeah, this is why I'm in shock. I'm wondering if you're doing a bit.
No, those people have had 2 weeks off, and whatever I think about Pat Fitzgerald, the man can coach a team up. And
world against us, he's good at that.
He's one of the best. And, you know, this is their game. They've, 1-4, 1-5 on the year? They need to take this game.
But how are they going to score? That's my question.
I mean, defensive scores.
10 young, points against young, Nebraska, young 15 against Wisconsin, 10 against Michigan State.
Yeah, young quarterback Justin Fields coming to a road game, first real adversity, a team that's really good on defense. Maybe they had some schemes for him. Patty Fisher and the boys got some schemes for him. But
put up 48 at Nebraska.
I think Ohio State's going to definitely win, but I wouldn't just look past Northwestern.
Okay.
They don't have a quarterback. That's the problem.
Yeah, they can't, like I said, they can't score. I think how we looked at Northwestern in past years is different than this year. What's the point spread? 28, Herb.
Give me Northwestern all day.
Yeah, I'd take Northwestern as well. I think they'll keep it close.
Now you want to go
listen, Chen, I'm done betting against Ohio State.
Now you want to go with a huge
every
number?
Week I'm like, oh, Cincinnati might stay within the number. Oh, Miami of Ohio might stay.
Nope.
Crushed it.
You want to go with a huge number, go with that Wisconsin-Illinois number.
I saw it opened at 25.5. What is it now?
I don't know. I think it's in the 30s now.
31.
You're a line I covered for me on Saturday. That was enjoyable. Early on, I cussed Lovey out because it looked like there was no way in hell they were going to cover that number.
Well, think about how bad Michigan is, and you think they're
That's
not that great.
That's why I took Illinois.
Wisconsin plays defense and can score at will. You remember that first half where Michigan was just easily moving the ball on the ground? That will be more. And the line I won't be able to come back against the Wisconsin defense. It's going to be a massacre.
For this week, as far as the Ohio State-Northwestern game goes, if you believe in look-ahead spots, team peeking ahead, you better believe the Buckeyes are looking at that game against Wisconsin. Not really worried about Northwestern, but we'll see. Did you expect any of this from your team?
What? This?
This?
The smooth transition?
This, they're better than Clemson right now.
No, to be honest with you. I knew that what Ryan Day wanted to do with fixing the defense when he brought in Greg Mathison from Michigan.
Always has a talent, yeah.
Which was crazy. I knew that they were trying to fix it. I didn't think it would go as smooth. I thought first-year head coach have a couple bumps in the road, but it's gone as smooth as one could expect.
Also didn't expect Penn State, and that will be a tough game at the end of the season. A lot of good games. Alabama-LSU is probably going to be the game of the year in a few weeks. That's going to be for the Heisman, Tua versus Burrow. A lot of good stuff with college football. I'm always open to that. If Jerry Milwaukee, I'm glad he brought that up. 312-644-6767. Other side, if you missed Jeff Blum, what he had to say about Joe Espada. Espada was interviewed by the Cubs for the Madden gig yesterday. You might side with Espada after hearing this. That's next. My name's Joe O. You've got the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.